Tempting as it is to take a detailed look at satraps and the myth of Daniel, including an in-depth discussion about jealousy and duplicity, as well as thinking about the lion's den story again, I'm not going to. We've only got a few minutes here, and as we're in resurrection season, I want to spend some time on the account that we have from Mark's Gospel today, the sparsest and densest of the four Gospels. Also, in some ways, the most surprising, particularly in this account of the resurrection. There's a suddenness to the ending of Mark's Gospel, as we heard in our reading for this evening. There's no other appearances of Jesus after these verses that we've heard. There's no restoration of Peter, no breakfast on the beach, no upper room appearances, no Emmaus Road encounter, no Mary mistaking Jesus for a gardener, no ascension. This is it. The ending of Mark is one of four that exist, but is considered to be probably the original ending. There are four endings in existence, called, cleverly, the long ending, the Fria Logion, which is an even longer ending, the short ending, and tonight's passage, the abrupt ending. I don't know if you notice, but today's gospel actually ends with no one getting to hear about the resurrection. The last verse says, "So they went out and fled from the tomb, for terror and amazement had seized them, and they said nothing to anyone, for they were afraid." Everything else, it seems, beyond that point is probably a later addition. This very abrupt ending seems to be a device similar to this morning's story of Thomas, refusing to believe in the resurrected Jesus without seeing the wounds in Jesus' hands and side, which is met with Jesus' statement, "Do you believe because you see? Blessed are those who do not see and yet believe." It's a setup to make us wonder that we have heard the story of the resurrection despite the initial fear and the amazement of these first witnesses. It's seeking to draw us in, to encourage our own faith in a sense of, "Oh, they may not have got it, but I do." Or the reaction to the Thomas story, "Oh, I believe even though I have not seen. I'm who Jesus was talking about." It draws us into the story and seeks to inspire confidence in our faith. And there's more. When the women encounter the empty tomb, they are greeted by a figure. No mention of angels, just a young man for this, the earliest gospel of the four. This figure they encounter reassures them, "Do not be alarmed," and then tells them that what they're looking for, the body of Jesus, is not there, for he has risen. They're looking in the wrong place. It reminds me of a cartoon that does the rounds on social media every now and then, with someone opening their front door and two people on the step asking, "Have you found Jesus?" And then when you look more carefully at the picture, there's a pair of feet with sandals poking out behind the curtain. Another view was recently offered by a clergy friend of mine who said, "When people ask me if I found Jesus, I tend to reply that I'm Anglican and we didn't lose him in the first place." Enough diversion. I have to say I balk at this idea that we all need to have a so-called personal relationship with Jesus that seems to be no more than the product of the increasingly individualistic approach to spirituality that has its roots in Western post-Age of Reason philosophy. I believe our relationship with Christ is best mediated in community. That's not to decry or ignore that there is a spirituality personal to each of us, but the ultimate calling of the life of faith is to learn to live and to live out faith in community. And there's plenty more I could say about that, but it crops up in most of my sermons, so I'm going to stop for now. For now. I think in this story of the resurrection, we, the church, are being asked to consider where we find Christ. Are we looking into an empty tomb, or are we seeking Christ just where Scripture tells us Christ is? In creation, in our neighbor, in loving, in community. Are we so wrapped up in our church buildings and rituals that we forget the church is built upon the apostles, meaning those who were sent out? I'm convinced that many of us in the church engage in unintentional idolatry, worshipping our church buildings or traditions or scripture or our favorite teachers or whatever we find comfortable. Yet we are called to be living out our faith in acts of love and justice, in seeking Christ in those who are excluded or dismissed, in stewarding the earth and standing up for the care of creation. Resurrection faith, transformative and transforming faith, is about emerging from the tomb and living in fullness of life, a life to be shared with all we encounter. As we emerge from the physical, emotional, and spiritual lockdowns of the last few years, may we be bold with a loving, living faith which makes a positive difference to ourselves, one another, and the world.